High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 8:36. I'm Howard Feldman. A very, very good morning to you. Well, we have noticed that there has been a tremendous impact and volatility on the global markets. Not surprising, given the fact that many countries are impacted by the tariffs. We're joined this morning by Chris Hatting. He's the Executive Director at the Center for Risk Analysis. Chris, a very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Thanks very much for the opportunity. So much going on at the moment.
Wow.
So the more uncertain things are, the more work I have. So I suppose it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Keeps you out of trouble. Well, the rest of the world trouble. It's I was wondering, when I saw this volatility, if it is a blip, if it's something that could push the world in a negative direction. Give us a idiot's guide to how these tariffs can impact global markets.
Yeah, I think in this case, I wouldn't say that there's an idiot's guide. It's a case of all of us trying to make sense of what's going on, because it is unprecedented. President Trump, even before his first term, like 20 years ago, he would talk about how he viewed the global trade as imbalanced against the US, because the US would almost export its manufacturing, in his view, to other countries like China, Southeast Asia, and that would hollow out manufacturing capacity in various states in the US. So at the moment, we're seeing in the last 2 weeks especially that a country like China has almost retaliated in kind, and because China and the US are the world's two biggest economies, and so intricately linked with each other from an investment point of view, from a goods point of view, from a manufacturing point of view, from holding bonds and other assets, if they almost wall themselves off from each other, mm-hmm. that impacts global trade quite substantially, because most of the investment comes from those countries, most of the goods production comes from China especially. If global trade is more volatile and more uncertain, it means just less flow of global trade, which in turn impacts emerging markets like South Africa especially,
right.
Both from an access to goods point of view, because the costs of moving goods around the world is more expensive, but also from an exporting point of view, where if global trade volatility persists, there's less demand for commodities. And because South Africa is so dependent, the economy is still so dependent on exporting various raw materials and commodities, that impact our economic potential, our growth, and of course the tax revenue that SARS and the government can collect in the long run.
So this impacts emerging markets, particularly in terms of short-term volatility. What I find a bit confusing is placing a tariff on imports into the United States might well encourage local manufacturing from a US perspective, but that doesn't happen in a day. Many factories will minimum of months, but probably years to get themselves geared up to produce whatever they are importing.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. It also, that sort of view assumes that there will be appetite amongst US workers and companies to still be a manufacturing heavy economy, where the US economy has moved more towards the sort of services direction, which has ensured that the economy has continued to grow where others have declined quite a bit, which are more manufacturing and export intensive. So there are strong unorthodox assumptions at play. If they do work out, I mean, in the long term, it does mean the US is less resilient, reliant on countries like China, where if geopolitics is more, if there's more tension, that means the US isn't as beholden to China, maybe in some ways. But on the other hand, if this doesn't pay off, the US almost isolates itself, where some of these manufacturing supply chains and value chains have moved to countries like Vietnam, away from China, but sort of what we're calling third countries or middle countries like Vietnam and India. if they feel the US isn't a reliable and predictable trading partner, that also impacts how the US exerts its power, either in this in a hard power kind of way or a soft power kind of way, which would make the US economy and sort of diplomatic stance less, quite a bit more brittle than it has beforehand. So either the bet works almost between 80 to 100%, or it backfires quite badly. But again, you know, hindsight will be 2020 and will tell us whether this was a very clever move in the long run, or it put the US, it was a self-imposed sort of shot in the foot to make the US weaker in that regard.
Is there validity in Trump's concern about the imbalance between the United States and the rest of the world in terms of these tariffs? I mean, was some form of rectification required?
So two things. I think the sort of minimum average tariff that countries like South Africa applies, that is based on a rule that the World Trade Organization has formulated a couple of decades ago now, which countries try and adhere to. So if you look at South Africa's adherence to that rule, just from a tariff point of view, average tariff that we apply is around 7.3 to 8% against a country like the US on imports. So it's not particularly high, and it's not close to the 30% that the US has imposed on South Africa. But the US is also taking into consideration non-tariff barriers, things like when ports and railways don't function well, local things like localization requirements, local content requirements. You've got crime and corruption. You've also then got things like BEE, which make it more costly for US companies to operate in a place like South Africa, and maybe just make it a less attractive investment destination. So they're factoring in those things into their tariff calculations as well, where they see where countries make it more difficult for US companies to operate, to import, et cetera, et cetera. And then secondly, just on the trade deficit itself, I mean, yeah, I do approach this from a sort of orthodox economics point of view, where, I mean, I run a trade deficit with Woolies. What I mean by that is I spend money at Woolies and they give me goods. They don't give me money in kind. Right, so effectively, I'm in debt to Woolies, but I get value from the goods that I buy from them. So the US does have large trade deficits with many countries around the world, but that has in turn led to cheaper goods, materials, components for US companies and US consumers, where their quality of life has continued increasing for arguably the last 100 years. Yes, there have been serious dips and that sort of thing, but quality of life for the average American has increased markedly. And a big part of that has been easier global trade. And part of easier global trade is unfortunately sometimes larger trade deficits. So that's the orthodox consideration for President Trump and his economic advisors. They see a trade deficit as a fundamentally bad thing, and they want to rectify that wherever they can. But I think they might have bitten off quite a bit more than they can chew from what they can achieve and how countries will react to them, especially China. And then secondly, the sort of economic pain that this could inflict on the US, where we've got the next US midterm elections coming up at the end of next year. The Republicans have a narrow majority in the House and in the Senate. If the economy, never mind recession, but just declines markedly, the Republicans will be punished at the polls next year.
Yeah. The last question for you is, do we have any sense of whether this is what he's looking for as an outcome, or is this just the almost clearing the deck, clearing the table and saying, right, this is where we're at. Now we can talk individually to negotiate the right deal for the right country.
Yeah, I think the deal making is a very large consideration for President Trump and his advisors. Another concern just for them from a domestic economics point of view is the high debt, debt burden that the US has. So I think something like the universal tariff, the 10%, I think that's going to stay and maybe ratchet up, because that leads to higher revenue collection, which helps you with your debt repayments. The reciprocal tariffs, like, for example, the 30% on South Africa, 17% on Israel, 46% on Vietnam. I think those are going to be open for negotiation. So President Trump, he really wants to see how companies and governments react. How do they come to the table in terms of realizing this is what's important to him and to his advisors and to the U.S. economy? How can they deal with this or not? Or do they decide to retaliate in kind? So for him, it's a very, it's in a way, I think, a very clever way to assess how countries want to engage with the U.S. Yes, it does. It doesn't follow diplomatic norms or economic norms, but well, this is just how he prefers to operate.
That's we've become a little bit more accustomed to. Chris Hatting, thank you for that. Very, very informative. Certainly gave me a very good perspective and understanding of it. Chris is the Executive Director at the Center for Risk Analysis. He joined us this morning talking about the tariffs. It's 8:47.